if there was a makeup that didn't just hide your breakouts, but actually made them go away? Neutrogena Skin Clearing Makeup has our proven blemish-fighting formula, so it clears your breakouts. Now that's beautiful. Neutrogena.
The state Senate in New York still hasn't voted on a bill to make same-sex marriage legal. Republican State Senator Andrew Lanza explains where he stands on it.
At the end of the day, it's about treating each other the way we want to be treated. Where I am stuck is with the notion that we can do all that without changing the definition of the word marriage.
New York would be the sixth and largest state to legalize same-sex marriage. The measure was passed by the state assembly last week. Casey Anthony's mother testified she's the one who did internet searches for chloroform on the family computer, not her daughter. Cindy Anthony says that she was trying to figure out why her dog was always tired. Prosecutors believe Casey Anthony used chloroform on her two-year-old daughter, then used duct tape to cover her nose and mouth to suffocate her. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic. And a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. And the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
Google may be the next Microsoft when it comes to antitrust probes. Reports say three states, New York, California, and Ohio, are preparing investigations of Google, even as federal regulators are poised to slap it with subpoenas. All this follows a European antitrust probe of Google centering on its search advertising dominance and following complaints it had unfairly punished some websites by pushing them down in search result rankings.
You may start making so much money, you may not want to do anything else.
That's Don Lapper, the self-proclaimed king of infomercials. He's been arrested in Tempe, Arizona, after he failed to appear at an arraignment hearing. Lapper is accused of defrauding more than 220,000 people of $52 million through his infomercials for advertising-based vitamin businesses. U.S. Marshals say he may be suicidal. Stock markets in Asia and Europe rallied 1-2% after a deal was struck between Greece and its lenders, emergency financing in exchange for spending cuts. S&P futures up 7. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, folks. This is Dennis Miller, and if you aren't playing a Google a day yet, here's your chance to get started with a sneak peek at today's question. Go to GoogleAday.com and take a look at the chemical formula. When this chemical reacts with amino acid compounds, it detects fingerprints on paper. What color does it turn? Think you know how to find the answer? Start playing at agoogleaday.com. agoogleaday.com.
In 2010, Americans spent over $7.1 billion on ATM fees, and nearly one in two people are unhappy with their bank's phone customer service. It's time to choose a different kind of bank. Ally Bank has reimbursement for all ATM fees nationwide, plus 24/7 live customer care with over 90% customer satisfaction. To learn more, visit allybank.com. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Hey there, how's it going? My name is Amy and I work at Lowe's. 4th of July is right around the corner, but there's still time to get those home projects done before the big weekend. And to help, we're giving you a $15 instant savings for every $100 you spend on 4x8 sheets of plywood or OSB. Plus, now get 15% off all special order Pella windows and patio doors, also good on Thermastar by Pella. So come to Lowe's and get ready to relax. Lowe's, let's build something together. Offers valid.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Strong thunderstorms, damaging winds with some... President of the United States, Barack Obama, is destroying the United States. Detroit, Michigan, embraced progressive policies and corrupt government and unions.
Essentially, the far left wants every captured terrorist to have the same rights all Americans.
According to Tony Trupiano, what the governor failed to reveal was the number of lost jobs from that one policy shift alone cost the state of Michigan over 10,000 jobs in the first quarter of this year.
Doing the right thing requires a dedication and commitment to looking beyond the headlines. It requires a level of excellence and unparalleled effort. It requires you to punch in. It requires First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is a Friday morning here on First Shift, and as always, just pleased to be with you. Looking forward to the weekend, but we've got a lot to do before we get to the weekend. I assure you that today will be eye-opening in a variety of ways. I know that Jeff is really excited about one of our guests who's being harassed endlessly. And we'll kind of chronicle her story and get her on the air a little bit later on in the show. But we've got a lot to do today. And I just, some stuff I need to remind you. There's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. And I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to participate in some of that. And of course, it involves your engagement. Thank you very much. All right, before we get on with all the stuff we've got to do, let me take care of some business. The streak is over. 13 days. It ended, Jeff, at 13 days.
It did. And I don't know if that helps people guess what it is, but I heard that the guesses are getting more creative.
And, well, more creative. We have one person that was scaringly close to actually what the streak is, which we will have to begin again today. And here's the clue. After the show. It's the only clue they're going to get today.
Yep, that's a good one.
It's the only clue they're going to get today. But the streak ended yesterday, and we begin a new streak, hopefully today. Hopefully today. No Tigers last night. They had the day off. They were traveling from Los Angeles back to Detroit, so they get a day off. We, of course, the Detroit Tigers, will be honoring Sparky Anderson this weekend. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in town. And of course, the Pistons, in my opinion, did well in the draft last night.
Perfect pick for them. I mean, not perfect pick for them right now, but perfect pick for them down the road. Like, they have enough guards, but when Brandon Knight was there, I jokingly said to my friend, he's like, well, who do you want? And I said, Brandon Knight, but I know, I mean, that's a wish, you know, it's one of those things where I knew he was going to be gone in the first 3-4 picks. And when he was still there at 8, I was like, no way. So when they finally got him, it was a no-brainer.
Well, I was actually a little surprised with the how the top 8 picks kind of fell the way they fell. Of course, all of this is, you know, I think the Pistons did well in the draft yesterday. We don't know. I mean, even more uncertain than football, although I'm beginning to hear lots of positive things about the NFL lockout. I think this may be over in less than a week.
You think so?
I do. I really do. I know that they have a deadline of, I think it was, and again, this is an unofficial deadline of July 15th, that if they didn't have things done by July 15th, then they were going to have to start looking at tweaking things. But I think they're going to have it done. I think they're getting closer.
Well, you got more optimism than I do at this point.
Well, why are you pessimistic? What are you not hearing that you need to hear?
I don't know. I just, I want to see it first, you know?
Well, come on, Redford. You're giving me a hard time now. I think you're just doing it deliberately.
I probably am. I just want you to break it first. You're the one who's positive about it. You said you think it's coming, and we'll give you the credit when it does.
And I'm not looking for credit. That's not my game, Jeff. That's not my game. This is an important weekend for the Tigers. They're 1.5 games out of first place to a Cleveland Indians team that has leveled off and is certainly showing some wear early on in the season. And so I think they need a big weekend. And I know Arizona's coming in doing better than they've done in the last few years. Obviously, I never factor in like the emotion of the whole Sparky commemorative thing. I don't think that gives the Tigers any kind of advantage in any way, shape, or form, especially when you've got to include the manager and the bench coach of the other team in that celebration.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, having Gibby and Trammell come back for that emotion, I don't think, especially for the young guys who never played for Sparky, who have only probably read about him, then, yeah, I don't think that they're going to get emotionally involved in it. It's just going to be them versus Arizona.
I mean, it'll be a feel-good thing. There's no question about that. Oh, man, I'm choking over here. It should be a fun weekend. I just need them to win, you know, I need them to win the whole. I want them to sweep this series. I need to see us back in first place. We need to start building. We're not building any momentum. And this is kind of, you know, one of the problems I've had with the Tigers all season is that although they've had certainly periods of time where they've played exceptional baseball, you know, they're doing it at the same time that others are playing exceptional baseball. And again, they've you know, done what they've needed to do to make themselves competitive. But they, you know, they had first place. They couldn't build on it. And, you know, we need some momentum. And, you know, nothing will replace that but playing better baseball. And it's more offense than defense at this point. On this trip that they were just on, they did not score a lot of runs. In fact, we had against the Dodgers 8 runs in 3 games is not a lot of runs.
It'd be good to get back home, but then again, the way Arizona's playing, the good news is they're going to miss Daniel Hudson, who I think is pretty much their best pitcher. But the bad news is the bats have to come alive. How about this for good news? Brandon Inge back with the team.
He is back with the team, and Ryan Perry is up as well from Toledo. We'll see if that makes much of a difference. Listening to Sports Talk Radio yesterday afternoon, and I don't know if you heard any of the discussion that was going on surrounding Al Albuquerque, who is a relief pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, who I'm awfully impressed with. He seems to have come from nowhere, and certainly a needed arm in a bullpen that's heavy on lefties. As we get closer to the trade deadline, do you think we're going to make a major move this year? Do you think that we're close enough where Dave Dombrowski will go to Mike Ilitch and say, you know, we need to pull off a major trade here?
I don't think you're going to see a major trade, no.
Nope. All right.
You'll get trades. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I don't want just trades. I want headline. I want front page of the paper kind of trade.
Yeah, but sometimes, or more often even, those trades end up not working out as much as maybe the trades that, this wasn't as that well thought of at the time, and then suddenly the guy becomes, I mean, the addition of guys like Cody Ross helped the Giants win the World Series last year.
I understand. I don't know. I guess I just, I don't know. And then, of course, when you look at trades, the question you have to ask yourself, and I know that this is the question Dave Dombrowski or any general manager would say, how many players are we away from really securing this thing? And for the Detroit Tigers, it's not one player. So that's probably why we won't see that big trade, because it's not just one guy. But you also have to ask yourself, and will it even matter when we have a healthy ball club? I don't know that we have a healthy ball club. And the interesting thing about the disabled list this year is it seems like when guys go down, the guys we bring up actually are doing better than the guys that went down. And so we end up having to, you know, put the guy that went on the DL back, and, you know, it kind of messes with the chemistry. I've never quite seen the chemistry work this way before. You know, normally, like Maglio went away, and you know, the guys that came up did a great job.
Yeah, and that's why I was surprised to see Inge come back so quickly. I'm a big Inge guy, but I just thought that they would take their time bringing him back with the way things were going. But
Well, you know, we need a big weekend. I mean, we truly need a big weekend out of the Detroit Tigers, and hopefully we'll get it. And I'm still very much an optimist that the NFL lockout will end soon. I mean, I need it to for my own heart and soul. I need it to because I love, you know, free agency. We haven't had free agency yet. Do you realize that if they end the lockout in the next week, what we get up till training camp? I mean, it'll be nonstop football. It'll be wall-to-wall football news.
It's already that way. The NFL's already a 24/7, 365 sport as it is.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's going to be something of substance to talk about every day leading up to training camp because free agency is going to be massive. You know, especially if they lay it out the way I've read they're going to lay it out, where guys with 5 or 6 years of service will all be unrestricted free agents now, all of them, and that changes the dynamic of free agency in a big way, Jeff.
It could, especially when guys like, the Asamoah deal. Have you been reading about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'm down with that.
What, they're going to throw the bank at him? You don't want him to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if he could make that big of a difference.
Well, you're reading what I'm reading. They said that he would be the difference. If we signed him, we make the playoffs.
It's a lot like with the Tigers.
No, it doesn't make sense that one guy is it. That's it. You know, maybe we're just that one guy away. I do agree, and in one of the articles I read said, and I do agree with this, that if you make the playoffs, and it's proven anybody can win, you got to get in there, though. So, we'll see what happens. All right, when we come back, I got a lot of stuff I need to get to. Southwest Airlines, the pilot, you hear about that? Well, you're going to hear about it here, kind of crazy stuff. Senator Franken and Bernie Sanders putting the slap down on Senator Rand Paul, and you're going to enjoy that exchange as well. We got to get to the break. 888-552-3595. We are open lines as always. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back. Good Friday morning to you from 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good Friday morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes still pretty quiet roads out there, although wet roads. You do want to be careful for that. You're coming in on M10 The Lodge from 696 heading down towards Southfield Road, Southfield Freeway. We look pretty good through there. In fact, heading into downtown, the whole stretch from the Davison to 94 all the way into downtown, it all looks great right now.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 69. Tonight, it'll be cloudy, a low near 57. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 78. Right now, overcast and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, the products you need most. So you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, Tony Trupiano with you on this Friday. First of all, Patrick, relax. Relax, Patrick. Nobody guessed what the streak was. The streak is just over because it was 13 days of my doing blank, and I now need to start over. So nobody guessed it, and we go back. I know I'm driving you nuts, Patrick, and frankly, it pleases me to know that. All right, we got a lot to get to. I want to play some audio, but before I do that, a couple quick announcements. And then I got to take care of a little business. Let me start with the announcements. I got a call yesterday from Beth. Beth is with the Downriver Group to recall Rick Snyder. The Downriver Cruise is this weekend. They are in need of bodies to help circulate petitions. So this is your chance. What tomorrow's going to be, by the way, a beautiful day, sunny and 75. That is the perfect day. And the Downriver Cruise is pretty massive, so... this is what I need you to do. I need you to either send Beth an email letting her know you want to help, and that is just recallrick@yahoo.com, recallrick@yahoo.com, or there's going to be a tent on Quarry Street on the northbound side of Fort Street, and they will be there. Just tell them that you're there to help with petitions. That's all you need to do. I'll be mentioning this throughout the day today, but it would be nice for those of you that have wanted to get involved to get involved. I also want to let you know that on Saturday, July 9th, Liz Winstead, who is the co-creator and former head writer of Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, will be performing at the historic Eagle Theater next door to the Crowfoot Ballroom in Pontiac. It's a benefit for Planned Parenthood, and it's the show is titled Planned Parenthood WTF, which stands for What the Fuss. And it will be the opening of a six-city national tour to raise funds for Planned Parenthood. If you would like to go, and the doors open at 7 o'clock on the 9th. Tickets are $30 and can be purchased online at miplannedparenthood.org, miplannedparenthood.org, and again, we will be certain to get that information out there. All right, so Jeff, Jeff and I are talking, and he goes, did you see that thing about Southwest Airlines? I said, absolutely did not. Let's go ahead and play the audio so we can get it all in, and then we'll talk about it. Go ahead and run that stuff.
Well, for the, I had Tucson ending all 4 weeks, and Chicago Cruise, 11 out of 12. There's 12 flight attendants, individual, never the same flight attendant twice. 11 over the top homosexuals and a granny. 11. I mean, think of the odds of that. I thought I was in Chicago, which was party land. After that, it was just the continuous dream 9:30, got back to my room. I'm like, why the f*** did I dip?
Okay, whoever's transmitting, go watch what you're saying.
Friendly, but they're still moped. You know what I mean? I still wouldn't want anyone to know if I had banked them. So, I mean, it was a complete disaster for 6 months. Now I'm back in Houston, which is easily one of the ugliest bases. I mean, it's all these old dudes and grannies, and there's like maybe a handful of cute chicks.
Okay, someone's got a stuck mic and tell us all about their endeavors. We don't need to hear that.
Houston, Skywest 6285. We're 195-330, and that was not us.
Skywest 6285, Houston Center. Out to climb and maintain flight level 360.
360, Skywest 6285. And they wonder why airline pilots have a bad reputation.
That was it? Okay, that was it. Hey, Jeff, just very quickly, I don't think I... You know, I'm not hearing you, dude. If you're talking to me, I'm not hearing you, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Were you talking to me?
Yeah, I was letting you know that was...
Okay, well, I'm not hearing you. All right, so let me just briefly set this up. Jeff, if I recall all this correctly, this was a pilot that was talking to his co-pilot in his own cockpit. His mic was stuck, and he was basically complaining about how he's having trouble getting laid... And how much his job sucks, right? And is that pretty much paraphrasing it okay?
And using some colorful terms for the people that he's been working with.
What's what's a grande? I'm not sure what I know what a grande is. Is that like a fat person?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because as a fat person, you know, I want to know all the different things I can be called. So that's a grande. All right, so the deal is he does this on an open mic. That was stuck, and he goes on and on and on.
He's even warned halfway through, you might want to watch what you're saying.
Yeah, now let me make this very clear. The passengers didn't hear a word of this. So just so you know, the passengers did not hear any of this. That would have been, of course, we would have heard it, because this happened, we don't even know when this happened, do we? It was a while ago, because we know the pilot was suspended with pay. We know that he was sent to sensitivity training, but we don't know how long ago this was. They have not identified who the pilot is, and we don't actually even know if he's still working for Southwest Airlines, although this is quite embarrassing for them. And, you know, the thing that I tried to find out, Jeff, after you and I talked about this last night, is how this tape came to be. I mean, who released this? And I couldn't find that out. I just couldn't figure, out how they came, how this came to be public information. But what does it really say about this? I mean, I know what it says about this guy. But, you know, what does this upset anybody that this pilot was sitting there just basically bashing his coworkers? And I do understand that at least the flight attendants union is considering suing Southwest Airlines. But I don't know under what grounds they would sue, to be honest with you.
Well, that's not quite the workplace that I can see them wanting to be a part of, if that's, you know, if that's who you're working with, if that's his feelings. I mean, I can see both sides of it. If you're a flight attendant and that's how they view you, boy, I mean, that's not really human, you know, human being kind of viewing.
Yeah, it's not humane.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And at the same time, they didn't fire him. They sent him to sensitivity training, and then bam, he's back on the job again. Well, I mean, he's had a record of being a as far as flying wise, a decent pilot. So, I mean, is it all right that they don't fire him?
Well, I think it is all right that they didn't necessarily fire him. And, again, we don't know what other repercussions there are. Southwest Airlines did produce a video apologizing for the pilot, which, by the way, and if you I don't know if you watched that video, Jeff, but it was a very okay apology. You know, there was nothing really impressive about it, but anyway, it was beyond weird. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll if you want to ring us up on that, that's fine. We'd be happy to take some calls on that. Also, some drama on the Senate floor yesterday during testimony that we'll share with you as well. I'm Tony Trupiano. Stay with us, and a good Friday morning to you. Thanks for punching in on First Shift. We'll be right back.
Third.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Heading northbound on I-75, looks like we have an accident working near Big Beaver. Slow going northbound and southbound as gawkers take a look at what's going on the other side. M14 eastbound at 275, we have an accident, looks like on the ramp from 14 east to southbound 275.
Stop by McDonald's today and try a cool and creamy premium roast iced coffee starting at just $1.19. Available in hazelnut, vanilla, and sugar-free vanilla. Try your favorite premium roast iced coffee flavor today. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 69. Tonight, it'll be cloudy, a low near 57. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 78. Right now, overcast and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. It took nearly a decade, but as Jesse Russell reports, employees of the Transportation Security Administration now have a collective voice on the job.
Nearly 45,000 TSA employees across the country voted in favor of representation by the American Federation of Government Employees. 85% of the transportation security officers voted in favor of unionizing in April, but they didn't agree on which union should be their representative. The AFGE just barely nudged out the National Treasury Employees Union by 500 votes. President Barack Obama restored the right of TSA employees to collectively bargain when he took office, a right stripped by the previous administration. In a statement, AFGE National President John Gage said that as the union moves forward representing the workers, it acknowledges that airports of different sizes have very different issues. He pledged to cover all of the bases.
The United Farm Workers are hoping a California bill allowing farm workers to form unions by majority sign-up will soon become law. Sean Hamilton reports.
United Farm Workers and their supporters rallied at California's state capitol Thursday to persuade Governor Jerry Brown to sign legislation making it easier for farm workers to organize. The author of Senate Bill 104, Sacramento Democrat Daryl Steinberg, told the crowd he was honored to have sponsored the Fair Treatment for Farm Workers Act, which he referred to as a civil rights bill. Arturo Rodriguez, president of the United Farm Workers, said the large growers who oppose the legislation pretend everything is fine and that they treat the workers well. Rodriguez said they ignore the 16 heat-related deaths that have occurred in the last 6 years. He said the growers don't provide enough water, shade, or rest breaks and generally push the workers too hard.
They're not machines. They're human beings, and they cannot work like that. That's why we need fair treatment for farm workers and SB 104 signed by Governor Jerry Brown, so farm workers will have a voice in the job, so they'll have an opportunity to really control what's taking place.
Governor Brown has until June 28th to sign the bill. Sean Hamilton, Sacramento, California.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. Jeff, I got to tell you, my buddy Patrick's going nuts trying to guess what the streak is. He is absolutely going insane, and I think that it may push him over the edge. I don't know what to do here. I just don't know what to do. Patrick, you're wrong. He's started the show on time. God forbid, and you don't really.
Wow.
Hasn't or has eaten before or during the show are his guesses as of now.
I like the other. What was the one that you told me yesterday someone had guessed? Oh, called Todd by his last name.
Yeah, that was Patrick, too. Patrick's sending me about 10, 12, 15 guesses a day. And it's really driving him nuts. I told you he sent me one in all caps. Enough already. Tell me. I need to know. Sorry, buddy. I'm going to have to wait. Going to have to wait. Very quickly, back to the Southwest Airlines audio we just played. I get the outrage. I get why it's bad. I saw on ABC News, on the website for ABC News, and they interviewed one of the flight attendants who said, coming to work knowing this, yeah, not a good thing. But if during that audio, one of the pilots says, and they wonder why pilots have a bad reputation. And, we don't need to wonder that anymore. I just don't understand what this guy was so up. I guess it's just about getting laid, right? I'm trying to just think, in the context of the conversation, which went on for almost 4 minutes. I'm guessing that's what it's about. I don't know.
That and he's homophobic. That and he doesn't like working with grannies, as he calls them.
Grannies,
or bad,
yeah.
People, or, I mean, he just torched a bunch of people. All he basically wants to work with are flight attendants.
Hot chicks.
Hot chicks.
Hot,
exactly.
That's what those were his words. Hot chicks.
And it's not, and it has nothing to do with their job performance. It has the fact to do with that maybe he has a chance of getting some after he's out of work.
Absolutely.
So he doesn't look at them as people. I mean, the entire premise of this whole rant is that he doesn't care about people. Is that, and that's the work environment that that's the reason why I would think that the flight attendants union would want to step in and say, this something needs to be changed here. This is the work environment that you're putting these people into.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much the way I saw it too. All right. Well, yesterday there was some testimony on the Senate floor yesterday in Washington D.C. Jeff taking care of our elderly citizens, senior citizens, and it was about funding, needed services for seniors. It was that simple. And the three characters involved in this exchange that we're about to play for you were Senators Bernie Sanders, Al Franken, and Tea Party darling Rand Paul. And I'll let it speak for itself, and then I'll come back and comment on it.
Making sure that seniors have the nutrition that they need is not only the right and moral thing to do, it is the financially smart thing to do. It is estimated today that 5 million seniors face the threat of hunger, 3 million seniors are at risk of hunger, and 1 million seniors go hungry because they cannot afford to buy food. But in some cases, it's not just money. In some cases, it's having the transportation to get to the store. In some cases, it's the ability to think through when you're 85 or 90 and alone what kind of food you need and how you purchase it. Persistent hunger and malnutrition leads to multiple chronic diseases, resulting in extended hospital stays and premature nursing home placements. There are some studies out there, not quite sure, about a significant percentage of seniors today who are in nursing homes who need not be in that expensive care if they had good nutrition and somebody visiting them on a regular basis. That seems to me to be pretty dumb.
Make no mistake about it. The Older Americans Act saves money. It allows seniors to stay in their homes who wouldn't otherwise be able to stay in their homes.
It's curious that only in Washington can you spend $2 billion and claim that you're saving money. Here's a thought. Perhaps the $2 billion we spend on OAA, if we subsumed that into another program and didn't spend it, that might be saving money.
Senator Paul has suggested that only in Washington can people believe that spending money actually saves money. And I think that is the kind of philosophy which results in us spending almost twice as much per person on health care as any other country on earth. Because we have millions and millions of Americans who can't get to a doctor on time. Some of them die. Some of them become very, very ill. They end up in the emergency room. They end up in the hospital at great cost rather than making sure they have access to a doctor. Maybe it's the same reason why we have more people in jail than any other country on earth, including China, tied to the fact that we have the highest poverty rate among children of any other major country on earth.
So the point is, and I think we have a bit of a difference here, I think Senator Franken has spoken to the fact that prevention, keeping people healthy, taking care of their needs at home, does actually save money. And that if you deny those resources, if you're leaving a senior citizen home today, alone, isolated, confused about medicine, not getting the nutrition they need. You know what happens to that person? That person collapses. That person ends up in an emergency home. That person ends up in a nursing home at much greater cost to the system.
But here's my very precise question. Does the Older Americans Act save taxpayers' money by allowing seniors to stay in their homes as opposed to going to nursing homes?
Yes, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator Paul wanted to make another comment.
I appreciate the great and very, I think, collegial discussion, and we do have different opinions. You know, some of us believe more in the ability of government to cure problems, and some of us believe more in the ability of private charity to cure these problems. I guess what I still find curious is, though, that if we are saving money with the $2 billion we spend, perhaps we should give you $20 billion. Is there a limit? Where would we get to? How much money should we give you in order to save money? So if we spend federal money to save money, where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity. Thank you.
I think you just did.
Well, I would suggest, Senator Paul, when you have seniors in this country who are dealing with food insecurity, who are not getting the nutrition that they need, my guess is that the government is wasting substantial sums of money by not taking care of those seniors who will end up in emergency homes, in emergency rooms, in hospitals, and in nursing homes. So you ask that question, my answer is I don't want to see one senior in this country go hungry. It's the morally right thing to do, and from a fiscally conservative point of view, saving government money, in my view, it is the right thing to do.
All right, and that, again, Senators Bernie Sanders, Al Franken, and Rand Paul. And, the absurdity. I think we just got there. We're talking about, the Older Americans Act, which protects senior citizens from unnecessarily being displaced from their homes. Anybody that has dealt with this issue, whether it's a parent or a grandparent, when we feel like they can no longer care for themselves, and perhaps they would need a little bit of assistance. I have a neighbor right now that is going through this. She is 94 years old. She is still fairly healthy, but she can no longer care for herself. She can't drive any longer. She certainly can bathe herself, but she needs help cooking. She needs help doing some grocery shopping. Is it less expensive for us to provide her with some part-time care in the home, allowing her to keep her home? Or would it cost more money to put her in a nursing home at government expense for the rest of her life, not knowing what the definition of rest of her life is? So as we look at that, and we're looking at a price tag of $2 billion, Tea Party darling Rand Paul says, well, listen, and only in Washington, D.C. do we say spending $2 billion saves us money, totally ignoring the other side of the question, which is what does not spending $2 billion cost us, right? It's a simple equation. There's nothing complicated about that equation. And, of course, he's under the assumption, and I'll use his words exactly, that private charity would solve this problem. Unless there's a private charity out there that I'm just not familiar with, and that certainly is quite possible, that just, altruistically goes in and provides for those that are in greatest need in the latter years of their lives for free, I'm not aware of them. I'm just not aware of them. And so, again, they may exist. It's just not something that I happen to be aware of. And so shame on, again, Republican, we'll go it again, Rand Paul, for just assuming that by not spending the money, we are in essence, saving money, totally ignoring the reality of what it costs to care for folks that are placed under government subsidies, subsidized nursing care. And it's amazing. You want to say something, Jeff?
You know what it reminds me of is the discussion we had earlier in the week with Jalen Rose talking about education and the fact that if you can get to these kids beforehand, get them through schools, then you lower the crime rate, you lower the poverty rate, you lower the illiteracy rate. It's prevention. It's getting it to the problem before it balloons into something bigger.
Yeah. Well, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. Absolutely. This is something that deserves a little discussion. And would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's take that quick break here. We'll be back on the other side of this. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the Migrate Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the Migrate Kid Radio Show is for you.
The Migrate Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at MyGreatKid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. And participate in McDonald's.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Truppiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. If the thought of buying a used car doesn't exactly warm you this summer, remember to ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report so you can buy with more confidence. Just say, show me the Carfax, or go to Carfax.com. Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back 10 minutes before the top of the hour. The Older Americans Act, again, would provide funding to make sure that those that are still able to stay in their homes and live out the remaining years of their lives would be able to do that with minor assistance. Grocery shopping, perhaps some help cooking, maybe some help bathing, getting somebody to a doctor's appointment, maybe just spending some compassionate time with them. According to Tea Party Republican Senator Rand Paul, we need to eliminate that funding. Senator Al Franken, Senator Bernie Sanders, obviously very much opposed to the idea of eliminating that funding. And again, you have to appreciate that we are proactive enough to consider this late in life care that is in some cases desperately needed. Again, if you've ever had an older person in your life that you've had to be responsible for, and sometimes the family decision is to put them in assisted living, well, that's something that has to be paid for mostly from, you know, your personal funds. In the case where somebody is forced into assisted living care and the government has to pick up the tab, it is obviously going to be far more expensive to care for somebody on a 24/7 basis for the remaining days. Again, not being able to define how many days that is. And so it seems to me counterintuitive to even believe that by not spending this money, we are somehow saving money, because it would cost us money in the long run. And I'm sure that they've done their studies. I'm positive of that. I just find it quite odd that, especially the Tea Partiers, the Tea Partiers are pretty strict, you know, let's spend as little money as possible, force people into as much distress as we possibly can, and let everybody figure it out on their own. And, you know, government does have a responsibility at some level to care for those that need to be cared for. Okay? It's that simple. I mean, it really is that simple. I'm glad that Dale Franken and Bernie Sanders gave him the smackdown. And I'm sure it won't be the last time. I can promise you that.
So they want to tax these people's pensions before they reach this older age. And then when they get to the older age, they want to ignore their needs and then wait for them to, the cost to balloon up, and then wonder why, you know, now we need to have all
the
spending.
Well, you know, this is reminiscent of that audio clip, Jeff, you played yesterday from Governor Snyder, where he told Stephen Clark from Channel 7 here in Detroit that the ability to pay, that seniors have the ability to pay. You remember that audio clip?
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, the promise, and we've had this conversation how many times now, Jeff? The promise that when you get to that period in your life, and when we had the guy on from the AARP, Eric Scheindewein, and he was talking about people carefully planning for retirement only to have the rug taken out from underneath them because the government all of a sudden needs access to that money. Well, that's just a little unfair. Maybe more than a little unfair. It's horribly unfair. That's taking advantage of people. The breaking promises, it's bad. This is just bad policy.
If you look at it in many respects, that's about our kids. If seniors, they have the ability to pay, or people with retirement income, I should say, if they have the ability to pay, they weren't contributing to the system, and so what was going to happen over time, it had already started, is we were shifting our tax burden to our young people. And when I went on the campaign trail, I heard it from everyone across Michigan. We want our kids to stay here. So why would we have a tax system that was pushing the tax burden to them? Now we've got a system that over time, we've got transitional provisions. Over time, though, people with retirement income, when they can afford it, will contribute to the system. And we can reduce that burden off our young people so they'll want to stay in Michigan.
I mean, just ridiculous. An absolutely ridiculous assertion.
Well, when they can afford it, when they stop being able to afford
Jeff,
it.
But, Jeff, time out. When they can afford it, this isn't about when they can afford it. This is about what age you are. Anybody under the age of 67, if they have a pension, whether they can afford it or not, their pension will be taxed. And that was the compromise. So tell me that is if they can afford it. Do you understand how that works? Because I sure don't, Jeff.
No, and then when they can't afford it, then just toss them aside, because obviously spending $2 billion is wasting money.
And that's $2 billion nationally. I mean, that's chump change. In the bigger picture, that's chump change. Again, it just blows my mind. All right, a couple of things I want to get to here before we end the hour. First of all, I guess I need to tell you what we got coming up today. I haven't done that yet. And the First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is a simple one today. Just, do you belong to a labor union? Just trying to get a little feel. Only have 3 votes so far. Just want to know if you belong to a labor union. That this isn't some kind of intrusive probing question. Just, do you belong to a labor union? That's all. That simple question. Coming up on the show in just a few minutes, in fact, from the Dearborn area, State Representative George Durrani will be joining us. In fact, Jeff, George Durrani is a request from my friend Patrick, who was desperately trying to guess what my consecutive streak was. So we're glad that we can get the Representative Durrani on the show. Autumn Smith will join us. I'm going to let you take the Autumn Smith setup there, Mr. Radford, because you're absolutely on fire with this woman.
No, I just talked to her on the phone, and she's on fire herself. She's, like I said, a fireball. Like, she's ready to go.
All right. Well, what's it going to be about? Come on, let's set it up, bud.
She's trying to get a recall of Jace Bulger, and apparently, we all know about recall efforts and how successful they are, sometimes not taking all that seriously. Jace Bulger not only is taking this seriously, he's taking it to another level. That's how scared I think he is about this recall effort coming across, and just the things that they're putting Autumn through. It's unbelievable when you hear it.
Yeah, well, and we'll save it for then. And then, of course, our buddy Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. I know he's Jeff's favorite regular of the week. He will be with us at 8 o'clock today. So we've got all of that. Very quickly, and I'm just going to put the target on his back and let him know. Tim, Representative State Rep Tim Melton, who is a Democrat from the Auburn Hills area, has made it clear that he is not really a Democrat any longer. He voted in favor of the Republican fashioned 10-year bills against teachers. He's done a lot of stuff lately that is anti-Democrat. He says that he's considering running in a primary against Congressman John Conyers after the gerrymandering of the districts, and it looks like they will pass as they have been approved both in the House and the Senate. Tim Melton, I'm just telling you loud and clear right here and now, John Conyers is a personal friend of mine. He is not only the dean of the Congressional Black Caucus, one of the longest-serving members of Congress. The day you think you can even buy the same shoes, let alone walk in the same shoes that this man has walked in, well, then you better prove it. So I'm just telling you right now, on this show and from this guy, from the seat I'm sitting in right now and the microphone that's in front of my face, I will pledge everything I have that you don't even get to the announcement that you want to run for Congress. You think that you can play this game because it's not a game? You think you can fill the shoes of John Conyers? Think again. You start acting like a Republican with a D after your name and think there aren't repercussions for that? You better think again, Tim Melton. I'm telling you right here, loud and clear, and you hear what I'm telling you, I'm coming after you both barrels. I will not allow this to happen. We'll take a break. State Representative George Durrani on the other side. Diane Cross with Traffic and Weather. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch. Our total traffic update includes an accident working I-75 northbound at Big Beaver, trying to clear from the left lane. Also, traffic slows southbound 75 near Big Beaver, with drivers looking at the accident on the northbound side. And 94 at Telegraph, looks like there's a car in the median. And because of that accident, eastbound 94 at Telegraph, the left lane is out. 1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather. The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 69. Tonight, it'll be cloudy, a low near 57. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 78. Right now, overcast and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's progressive talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story, a new report raises questions of whether Pakistan's spy agency was indirectly helping Osama bin Laden hide. CNN's Nick Peyton Walsh tells us about information on a cell phone found during the bin Laden raid.
According to the New York Times, an American official have tracked on that cell phone numbers that appear to lead to a militant group in Pakistan, allegedly put there as some kind of freelance group that might assist Pakistan in the event of a war with India. Now, of course, there's also suggestion in this New York Times piece that this same group were having contact with Pakistan's intelligence services. Now, Pakistan's intelligence services always denied any militant contacts.
Two men arrested in Seattle are accused of plotting a terrorist attack against military recruits. They were busted when a third guy they were trying to recruit told police about the plot. The talks aimed at raising America's debt limit are in trouble. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor pulled out of the negotiations because of differences with Democrats over tax increases. CNN's Dan Lothian reports President Obama is stressing that a balanced approach is necessary.
The president also pointing out that over the next several weeks, this whole situation was really going to start heating up, and those were the words the president used. But what the administration is also laying out in these talks is that it's critical that a decision be reached.
Floodwaters are rushing into Minot, North Dakota, much faster than expected. Ruth Schmidt has been watching the water rise.
This is unbelievable. It's a heartbreaking thing. It kind of just makes a big lump in your throat.
About 12,000 people have evacuated the city. The Souris River is expected to peak today much earlier than predicted. The tsunami threat is over in Alaska. A warning was issued for coastal areas after a magnitude 7.2 earthquake struck near the Aleutian Islands. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic. And a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. And the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
McCall from Rochester writes, what's your favorite hobby?
My favorite hobby is saving people money on their favorite hobbies. I quite enjoy connecting people who'd like to save money insuring their RVs, motorcycles, and ATVs through Geico.
That counts as a hobby? I thought that was your job.
Well, as the saying goes, love what you do and you won't work a day in your life.
Wow. If you're not working, that sure leaves a lot more time for camping and motorcycle riding.
Call Geico today for a free rate quote. Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
The U.S. Marshal Service says the self-described king of infomercials is on suicide watch. Don Lapper was arrested late last night in Arizona after failing to show up for an arraignment hearing. The man who made millions over two decades with an infomercial series touting a vitamin business is facing charges of defrauding 200,000 people of $52 million. The screws are being turned on Google as the U.S. Senate ponders subpoenas of the company on antitrust grounds. The attorneys general of New York, California, and Ohio are preparing to launch investigations of their own. This follows a European probe into whether Google monopolizes internet search and into complaints the company unfairly pushed some other companies lower on search results. Asian and European stock markets rallying 1 to 2% after Greece and its lenders agreed on a financial rescue plan in exchange for deep spending cuts. U.S. stock futures are higher. S&P futures gaining 2. NASDAQ futures up 10. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, folks. This is Dennis Miller. And if you aren't playing a Google a day yet, here's your chance to get started with a sneak peek at today's question. Go to a GoogleAday.com and take a look at the chemical formula. When this chemical reacts with amino acid compounds, it detects fingerprints on paper. What color does it turn? Think you know how to find the answer? Start playing at agoogleaday.com. agoogleaday.com.
In 2010, Americans spent over $7.1 billion on ATM fees. And nearly one in two people are unhappy with their bank's phone customer service. It's time to choose a different kind of bank. Ally Bank has reimbursement for all ATM fees nationwide, plus 24/7 live customer care with over 90% customer satisfaction. To learn more, visit allybank.com. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic, and a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. And the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because
There isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody, to hour two of First Shift on this Friday program. And really, you know, I got to tell you, and I haven't thanked you lately for allowing me to come into your lives on a daily basis. And what a blessing this has been. We end 8 weeks today since I returned to the airwaves, and I've never felt more blessed and empowered and honestly feel so good about what we're doing here in First Shift. And I just want to thank all of you for your support this early on in the show. It certainly has taken off. And Jeff, I got to ask you, because I didn't know you at all before we started the show, and I know you were a little leery, as I would have been in your shoes. You know, who is this guy? What are we going to do? But you got to admit, you know, 8 weeks in, and I think we've really found a niche, and whatever it is we thought this would be has turned out to be pretty damn good.
All based on the fact that we both like blueberry bagels from Panera, I think, is where it's rooted in.
Yeah, I'm not a blueberry bagel guy.
Oh, no, I can't believe you just said that.
I'm really going to disappoint you. You know what my favorite bagel is?
What is it?
Plain.
Plain bagel?
I like a plain bagel with tons of cream cheese.
Oh, I see. I'm not a cream cheese guy.
Well, so we don't have that in common.
But the rest of the show is going well.
Yeah, bagels beside, you know, bagels aside, we're doing really well. I also want to thank listener Alan, who continues to write me two or three times a week. And Alan, I appreciate you listening, and I'm glad that you enjoy what we bring to you. Getting an interesting response to the Rand Paul audio that we played as well, Jeff. So hopefully we'll have a little bit of open line time later to get to some of that. But let me turn to my next guest here. He comes to me actually through one of his constituents who asked if I would reach out to him, and he reached out to me first. So that worked out really well. When I think of representative, this next guest is the person that would come to mind. Let me just give you a little bit of his background. He was a former member of the Dearborn City Council from 2007 to 2010. He operated his own small business, so understands all of the confines of that. He also was a realtor for 20 years, was a realtor broker for 16 of those in the Dearborn area. And he was named Dearborn's Outstanding Rotarian of the Year in 2009, which means he understands that in order to survive and to thrive in your own community, you have to give something back. When I think of representative, this is what I think of. Joining me now from Dearborn is Representative George Durante, and I want to thank you so much, Representative, for being with us on First Shift this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Tony, and thank you for that great introduction. And I must say, before we go any further, I am a blueberry bagel guy.
Well, there you go, Jeffrey.
Yes.
There you go. Well, again, I want to thank you. Our mutual friend Pat Stagg asked me if I would reach out to you, and you were nice enough to reach out to us first. So we're making Patrick, who is listening this morning, Representative. He's emailed me. He's out there. He's listening. He's excited to have you on the show today, as am I. And we have a lot to talk about, but you know, I want to ask you what I've been asking a lot of first-term reps. I would imagine that when you envisioned becoming a state rep and went through that process, and I know you knocked on a lot of doors and you got your literature out there and you got the vote, that this wasn't what you envisioned the first 6 months in office.
Well, that's certainly true, Tony. My first 6 months in the state capitol has certainly been eye-opening, to say the least. You know, I've learned firsthand how partisanship can derail even the best intentions. And obviously, serving in the minority has produced a number of unique challenges. But now we're pushing on. The primary challenge now is to get good legislation to the desk of the governor and get it signed. You know, no matter whose name is on it.
Well, yeah, and as we look at that, you know, one of the things, you live in a very diverse community, and if there's ever a community and throughout the state of Michigan that understands the challenges of different cultures, different issues, different ideologies, it's certainly Dearborn. It is a city that has learned to grow as its population has become much more diverse. So you are kind of uniquely qualified to serve in this capacity as a representative, bringing, obviously, I think, a knowledge and an understanding that a lot of reps, you know, never get a chance to experience. So they should actually be turning to you, Rep. Durrani, and saying, hey, listen, you know, you're the guy that's actually done this. How can we do it better? I'm kind of curious. Are they turning to you? Are your Republican colleagues asking for your advice?
My Republican colleagues?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, that kind of answered that question, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's not happening. I must say, though, I've had a great relationship with the new friends that I've made on the Democratic side. What a great group of people. I think we're all there for one reason, and that's for the people. And that's been very, very enlightening to me and very, very a good experience for me in that regard. I mean, we're there for one reason, and I tell people this. I said, we're not here for us. We're here for the people who need us. And that's been my goal, to help the people that need the most help.
Well, with that said, let me talk about the budget first of all, then we'll come back and talk a little bit about education. We were told under this new tax plan that we have, where corporations and businesses were given a $1.8 billion tax cut, that this would create all kinds of dynamic jobs. And we were actually told that, you know, people would actually be lining up to open businesses here.
Right.
I'm not seeing that happening, and certainly you're going to be much closer to the source than I am. Is there a bunch of announcements coming that we're not aware of?
Well, the interesting thing, Tony, is that when the governor rolled out the budget back on February 17th, one of the first questions we asked, actually we asked the lieutenant governor, you know, the governor and yourself, you ran on the premise that you were going to create jobs. How many jobs is this budget going to create? And even the lieutenant governor said, geez, I don't know. We don't know. We're not sure. You know, we didn't calculate that. And we just shook our heads and said, unbelievable. This is the budget you're rolling out, and you yourself cannot even say that it's going to guarantee at least one job. Simply amazing.
Well, it is simply amazing. And then we turn to something that I know is near and dear to your heart, and that's education. Again, you're a community that's growing. You're having to look at expanding schools in the Dearborn area. You know, you look at the challenge of population growth, and then to turn around and see what you understand as being the very foundation of that community, education, you see that budget being cut. I can't imagine that sets too well with you.
Very, very frustrating for me and the folks in Dearborn. I ran under the premise of education first, and we need to have our students prepared for the 21st century, and certainly slashing the educational budget just works exactly against that premise. Now, when I got there for the, when they gave us our orientation back in November, even before we were sworn into office, the orientations that were given to us at Michigan State and other locations said that don't worry about the school budget, guys, because there's, for the first time in the longest time, we have a surplus in the school budget of roughly $200 per student. But when we were sworn in January, the first thing the governor said was, well, we have to cut back on education because we really don't have any money there, which is exactly the wrong thing to say, since we've already been told that there actually is a surplus there. Of course, that money was taken for big business and corporations and CEOs, and taken away from our children in the school budget.
Well, and Jeff, if you will, and we'll get to this after, I want to play a little sound we have from the governor talking about the school funding, and we're going to take a break here in just a couple minutes, but When we come back from that, I just want to pay this audio clip, Representative Durrani, and just let you comment on it. I will remind everybody, my guest is Representative George Durrani. He, of course, represents the city of Dearborn, a wonderful place to live. I'm a Dearborn Heights guy, but certainly spend a lot of time in Dearborn. And, of course, you know, my personal bias, very fond of that entire area, of course. Let's talk very quickly before we get to the break, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little further. House Bill 4744, which on the surface may sound odd to people until you get into some of the details.
Okay.
And that, of course, that House Bill 4744 would allow community colleges such as Henry Ford Community College, which is in the heart of your district, to apply for a liquor license. So people are going, okay, what the hell does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, nothing, actually, but it is important for a very good reason.
Would you like me to explain it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, actually, the bill will allow students that are in the culinary arts program to be able now to learn how to cook with beer and wine and spirits and preparing marinades or other types of things that are necessary to be a well-rounded cook or chef when you graduate. Some other community colleges have those programs in set already, but colleges such as Henry Ford Community College and others do not have that ability. And we're shortchanging our students if, when they leave the community colleges, if they don't have a full education regarding culinary arts. And so it's very, very important that they learn how to do that. At the same time, we're also helping the Michigan economy because we're also introducing them to the 75 wineries and the 60 microbreweries that are in the state. So we're encouraging the students to use those beers and those wines that come from our own state.
Representative George Durrani, hold that thought. We're going to get to that audio from the governor, talk more about House Bill 4744, and your calls if you'd like to, 888-552-3595. A quick break here. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. We're trying to clear a couple of earlier accidents. I-75 northbound at Big Beaver. That's been working on the left side. Hopefully that'll be pulled out of there shortly. Traffic slow also on the southbound side. People have to take a look at what's going on the other side, slowing down your ride as you try to head down toward the interchange with 696. And if you're not too far from the airport, making your way 94 eastbound near Telegraph, looks like trying to clear that earlier accident from the left side.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high, 69. Tonight it will be mostly cloudy as we drop to 57 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny and a high of 78. Right now, Metro Airport, still some overcast skies and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid Radio Show is for you.
The My Great Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at MyGreatKid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. Participate in McDonald's.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highbury ceiling fans. Just $89.88. Valued at $150, you get a ceiling fan for under $90 to keep things cool, a remote control to keep things easy, and a lifetime warranty to keep you from having to replace it down the road. all thanks to a special buy and exclusive Hunter High Berry Ceiling Fans, just $89.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, president of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana and New Jersey do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebates.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, Tony Trupiano back with you. My guest this hour is State Representative George DeRaney. We have been talking about a House bill he introduced, 4744, that would allow the use institutions, colleges, community colleges to apply for liquor license, which gives them then an opportunity to truly teach the culinary students, by the way, a field that is growing at a record numbers. So this is an important part of that educational process. And again, Representative Durrani, it's one of those things on the surface you kind of go, huh, until you explain it a little bit, and then it makes, of
right.
course.
It's something also that we've been fighting for. Well, our legislators have been fighting for this for a number of years. They tell me it's been 8 years. And they still haven't been able to get that particular bill passed. So I'm very, very happy that I was able to rework it a little bit to make everyone happy. And we got it passed at a regulatory reform committee a couple days ago on a 14-1 vote. So it's going to be sent to the House hopefully on Tuesday, and we'll get it passed in the House next week.
Yeah, I'm not seeing much of an issue to get in the way of that. I wanted to play that audio clip from Governor Snyder. He was sitting down with Stephen Clark from WXYZ Channel 7. This is what he had to say, Representative Durrani.
But
ahead.
As a practical matter, too much of our educational system has been about spending money, not educating the kids. We've got great teachers, great people in the system, but we have a broken system. So that's why we did the special message on education, to say it's all about the kids, not about the money. And let's figure out how to get more resources in the classroom and deliver real student growth.
All right, now I don't know what he means about this special message. I'm assuming that is cutting the money. But
yeah.
Is there any part of that quote that we just played for you that makes sense in our current reality with regard to education?
Well, you know, he's talking about the system being broken, but he's sounding like a broken record, because we've heard the same rhetoric that the system's broken, it's all about the kids, from President George Bush and his son, George W. Bush. This is the same rhetoric that's been talked by the Republican Party for the last 20, 25 years, in fact, and it's just rhetoric is what it is. I don't understand how you can cut money from the state education fund and expect our students to be educated better. It's like telling me, George, you're not doing a good job as a father feeding your children, so we're going to cut your pay in half. Now, how's that going to make me a better father, more able to feed my children by cutting my pay in half?
Who am I to argue with that? We're going to go to the phones again if you'd like to join us. Feel free 888-552-3595. The email address, always, tony@thetonyshow.org. We welcome Ann and Dearborn to the show. Ann, welcome. You're on the air with Representative George Durrani.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Tony. Nice to hear from both of you. It's been a while, but it's nice to hear that you're both doing well.
Well, thank you. Did you have a question or comment for Representative Durrani?
Yeah, George. George, thanks for being there. First, I want to tell you that we miss you in Dearborn and think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
My question in regards to the logistics of the proposal is most of the students are going to be, you know, between the ages of 18 and 21, especially those going to Henry Ford. My son actually goes to Henry Ford. Is there going to be, you know, I know if you go to a store to even buy alcohol that you have to have a cashier ring you up if they're not 21. Is there going to be, you know, are kids that aren't 21, are they going to be able to handle the alcohol during the course, or how does that work?
No, that's a good question, Ann. Thanks for your call. Go ahead, Representative.
Yeah, well, based on this law, there will be, obviously, the students won't be there by themselves when they're learning how to cook with these beer and wine and spirits. The chef in charge or the student instructor will be the ones that'll be with them, and so that's going to take care of that. This works with the Schoolcraft Community College. I think Oakland Community College and some other universities that have the culinary arts program. As long as there's an instructor, a chef there instructing them on how to use it, then that passes the muster for the Liquor Control Board.
All right, that was a great question and certainly a very good answer. Very quickly, I want to kind of tie this all together before we let you go today. We look at the cuts in funding to education. We look at the demand, or we look at the demands that we have on trying to create jobs, and we, you know, we'll go with, and again, I agree that government doesn't create jobs, but it certainly creates the environment that right. creates jobs. But if we're cutting education funding and we're laying off teachers left and right, many of them lost their jobs as of the end of last week when school got out in most places around the state. How is that going to attract real business, real dynamic middle wage or middle income jobs to the state of Michigan if we're not educating and preparing our students to meet that challenge?
Well, very good point, Tony. And it's interesting. I come from an economics background. I have a degree in economics from U of M. And one of the first things that businesses look for when they want to relocate or expand a current business is the educated workforce. That's number one. The governor seems to think that they look at what our tax rate is. A tax rate and what you pay in taxes as far as the corporation is concerned is the cost of doing business. It's one cost of doing business. And it's always factored into where you're going to locate a business. But the number one thing that an employer looks for is an educated workforce, and the governor does not see it that way. Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately indeed. So let's take a look at the reality. We're only 6 months into the next election cycle, and so we have a lot of legislation that will be moved in that period of time. Are you optimistic at all that the Republicans will come to their senses a little bit and start to work with the Democrats and do things that actually represent what we all want, not just what the top 5% wants?
Well, you know what, I'm an optimistic person to begin with, so I'm going to stay optimistic, and I'm going to be resolved in that fact that we're going to do everything that we can as a Democratic Party to push the agenda that's best for the people of Michigan. I think we all want what's best for the state, but we see it, I think, more clearly as Democrats, and it's all about the people. It's not about corporations. It's not about CEOs. It's about the working class people. It's about the people that care about the state, the middle class people, the ones that are going to be here for the long run. So I'm optimistic that our democratic ideals and principles will finally get through.
Well, I love your optimism. I wish I could share it, and maybe I'll learn to. But Representative George Durrani, we need people like you to obviously lead the way. Listen, I would save you a blueberry bagel, but by the time you got it, it'd be hard as a rock. So why don't we meet for coffee one morning in your area, and we'll have a bagel and a cup of coffee and chat further.
Sounds great, Tony.
All right. Representative George Durrani again. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
And you bet. A quick break here, and we come back. Autumn Smith will join us. The recall of Jace Bolger. Who is he, and why should we care, and why are they harassing her? We'll answer all that stuff on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, includes those earlier accidents. We're still trying to get back to normal on I-75 near Big Beaver. We had an accident on the northbound side, and it's been slow both ways. I-94 near Telegraph, an accident where the car went in the median, but then the left lane of eastbound 94 is the side that seems to be affected the most for traffic coming in from the airport, trying to head toward Telegraph and in towards Southfield Freeway.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high, 69. Tonight it will be mostly cloudy as we drop to 57 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny and a high of 78. Right now, Metro Airport, still some overcast skies and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. It took nearly a decade, but as Jesse Russell reports, employees of the Transportation Security Administration now have a collective voice on the job.
Nearly 45,000 TSA employees across the country voted in favor of representation by the American Federation of Government Employees. 85% of the transportation security officers voted in favor of unionizing in April, but they didn't agree on which union should be their representative. The AFGE just barely nudged out the National Treasury Employees Union by 500 votes. President Barack Obama restored the right of TSA employees to collectively bargain when he took office, a right stripped by the previous administration. In a statement, AFGE National President John Gage said that as the union moves forward representing the workers, it acknowledges that airports of different sizes have very different issues. He pledged to cover all of the bases.
The United Farm Workers are hoping a California bill allowing farm workers to form unions by majority sign-up will soon become law. Sean Hamilton reports.
United Farm Workers and their supporters rallied at California's state capitol Thursday to persuade Governor Jerry Brown to sign legislation making it easier for farm workers to organize. The author of Senate Bill 104, Sacramento Democrat Daryl Steinberg, told the crowd he was honored to have sponsored the Fair Treatment for Farm Workers Act, which he referred to as a civil rights bill. Arturo Rodriguez, president of the United Farm Workers, said the large growers who oppose the legislation pretend everything is fine and that they treat the workers well. Rodriguez said they ignore the 16 heat-related deaths that have occurred in the last 6 years. He said the growers don't provide enough water, shade, or rest breaks and generally push the workers too hard.
They're not machines. They're human beings, and they cannot work like that. That's why we need fair treatment for farm workers and SB 104 signed by Governor Jerry Brown. So farm workers will have a voice on the job, so they'll have an opportunity to really control what's taking place.
Governor Brown has until June 28th to sign the bill. Sean Hamilton, Sacramento, California.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. This next story I'm about to share with you just has me a little bit confused. And one of the reasons I'm confused is why the major newspapers around the state aren't picking it up, including the papers in Detroit, although this is happening on the west side of the state. This is absolutely phenomenal. We have a record number of recalls against members of the state House and Senate this year, not to mention the recall against the governor, which we have talked about on this show at great length. And I find it confusing that this in particular story is not major news, because it is against the Michigan Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger. Joining me now is Autumn Smith. Who is Autumn Smith? Well, she's a concerned citizen that is represented by Representative Jace Bulger. She's not happy and would like to see him recalled. All right, that in and of itself may not be front page news, but what's happened as a result of this recall should be. Autumn Smith, I want to welcome you to First Shift and thank you for spending some time with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, let's just set this up so that people can, you know, find out. Why did you decide that this representative needed to be recalled, Autumn?
Well, there was obviously numerous reasons that I felt he needed to be recalled. And then obviously when I chose to submit petition language, I'm limited to 200 words. So I had to narrow the reasons down. But the main reason that I focused on was the emergency manager law, taxing of pensions. Those were two of the main issues that that I addressed in my languages that I had submitted to the Election Commission.
All right, and so just so my audience understands how this works, you fill out a form, you turn it into the Elections Commission, then they decide whether or not the language is justifiable in order to allow a recall to, at that point, move forward, correct?
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to work. That's not necessarily how it does work,
well,
as I've experienced.
Right, so. And that brings us to why I believe this should be front page news, and it's not. Now, we got this story from our friend Chris Savage at Eclectablog, so I just want to make sure that people understand how you came to find yourself on the show today. And indeed, Autumn Smith, this is where it gets quite odd. Let's just go to the present, and then we're going to work back a little bit. There's been an injunction against the recall going forward. I've never heard of this in my life. So explain to my audience the legal, and not in legalese, but from a legal perspective, what the hell just happened that is now delaying your petition moving forward?
Well, what happened was the other day I received a call, 2 days ago I received a call from the press, right at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They wanted a comment on this injunction and temporary restraining order that had been issued. I had no knowledge. I had no knowledge whatsoever that this had happened. So I really couldn't say much to the press. So after I got off the phone with the press, I did get an email from the Election Commission, just a simple email. And it just said that there was an order granting temporary restraining and a preliminary injunction on the Calhoun County Election Commission, and they are enjoined and restrained from accepting or approving petitions submitted by the petitioner, which is me, seeking the recall of the representative of James Bulger until further notice, and then we have a court date. Now, I had to decipher this myself and contact my legal people that are, you know, kind of helping me on the side. What's going on? And nobody has really heard of this step. I anticipated an appeal, obviously, on language that was already approved, but this was something that I was not expecting.
Now, you know, and let me again make it clear, you're just an average citizen. I understand that you are disabled as well, and that, you know, I've got to be honest with you, it seems like he's kind of picking on somebody that shouldn't be, you know, if he's going to pick a fight, well, this wouldn't be the fight to pick, but... You know, Autumn, I know that you don't have the financial resources to go out and get an attorney and fight this thing. And so, first of all, I want to say if there's an attorney listening to the show right now that would like to help Autumn, let us know and we'll get you in touch with her. But this is really getting out of control, and all you're doing we've got a record number of recalls. You're not doing anything different than anybody else that's looking to recall a sitting member of the State House or the Senate right now.
That's exactly right. My my tactics may be a little more, you know, when my first language got turned down, the very next day I was down there with six more. I'm more prepared, and I think that they thought that once my first language got turned down that that's the last they'd see of me, and that they're very, very wrong in that arena. And so I think they've gotten frustrated that, you know, that I keep coming back and I'm not going away. I was at the NOF hearing. I was at, you know, I've been sitting in at other hearings. I've been very active with this hearing, with this case, obviously, but they thought that, you know, once they trampled my first language down and voted that down, that I'd be done. And I came right back up the next day with six more languages. And I think that they weren't expecting that, nor were they expecting the commission to approve two of my languages at my last hearing. But it's been a very eventful thing from the beginning when I first filed languages, to say the least.
Well, let's, you know, Autumn, and I think it's important that when we look at the election commission in, what is it, Calhoun County? Is that what we're talking?
Yes.
All right. You know, is this a nonpartisan group? Are they supposed to be nonpartisan? And are they treating you as a nonpartisan?
They're supposed to be nonpartisan per se. The commission is made up of the county treasurer, the county clerk, and the chief probate judge of Calhoun County. And at my very first hearing, which took place on May 25th, because I submitted my first language on May 10th, my first hearing, I outed possible conflicts of interest among the Clarity Board and even myself, because last year I campaigned for the judge that sits on that commission. I also found through campaign finance reports that there was money exchanged between the clerk and Jace Boulder, and also that the night before my Clarity hearing, there was a host committee that Jace Boulder and the county clerk were both on, welcoming Lieutenant Governor Calley at Mayor Baldwin's house. So I just kind of found that these things, you know, individually or together, were something that should be raised. I wasn't necessarily demanding they all recuse themselves, but I just thought, you know, hey, I'm outing myself, too, by saying I contributed to the judge's campaign and I campaigned for him. You know, this is just, let's just tell everybody where, you know.
Yeah, just full disclosure is all you were doing.
Yeah, I was just being honest. It wasn't meant to be personal. It was just meant to say, let's just everybody show their cards. So when I outed them at the hearing and such, just to be honest, I got attacked for about 15 minutes from the treasurer, just going off on, you know, how she, you know, and she's the one that really didn't have any conflict, and she attacked me for about 15 minutes straight. She also showed her bias that, you know, during her attack, she says, I like Jace Boulder. I think he's a man of integrity. I like Mike Noss. And I'm like, what? This is supposed to be an unbiased board. And then she sits there and talks about how much she hates her job. So that was the first Clarity hearing, which was quite a dog and pony show in itself. But after that hearing, like I said, I did the very next day go down and refile six languages, which I had talked to the election clerk in Calhoun County, and I asked her, do they need to be submitted on a petition form when they're being put before the Clarity Board? She contacted the Lansing Bureau of Elections, who informed her that no, you know, basically they don't have to be, but when you circulate, obviously they have to be on a petition. So I typed up the six languages, gave them to the election clerk, only to be told a few days later that the Lansing Bureau of Election had changed their interpretation of the law, and therefore my six languages that I submitted are no longer valid and acceptable, and I have to resubmit, which then pushed my next Clarity hearing date back. So I had to go through that hoop. So I went back down, resubmitted them on the same form that I had submitted my first language on, and the same identical form that is currently circulating for Governor Snyder's recall, and they still wouldn't accept them. So then I had to sit at the clerk's office for about 2 hours and resubmit each one according to their newly conveniently changed interpretation of election law. And then my next Clarity hearing for June 13th was set. clarity hearing too was kind of crazy. It was almost a two hour long clarity hearing. It was basically the commission couldn't get through their head that yes, you have multiple languages before you, but should you approve more than one, I will only be circulating one. They kept assuming that if they happen to approve two or three, that all of those are going to end up on the ballot.
This is insane, Autumn Smith. The board themselves, who sets the regulations and rules, don't even understand what they're administering, is what I'm hearing you say.
That's absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. Then they got in the argument about the header, that I had the title of office on the petition incorrect. I had the title of office for James Bolger, Michigan State House, District 63. Then they got in this argument. So they gave me an opportunity to amend it during the hearing. I amended it to the correct what it says on the ballot, Representative and Legislator 63rd District.
All right, Autumn, hold that thought. We're going to keep you through the break. Stay with us. If you'd like to join, this is just astounding. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Autumn Smith, my guest. This is just amazing. And this isn't over. I mean, that's the crazy part, is it's not even over yet. I don't get it. We'll take the break. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. We'll be back on First Shift right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Venero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. My guest, Autumn Smith. She's a Calhoun County resident. Just wanted to, because she was unhappy with a myriad of things, wanted to set forth a process called recall, as many Republicans are experiencing this year, in the year 2011, including our governor, Rick Snyder. She has been met with roadblock after roadblock, and now legal action with an injunction that doesn't even allow the Election Commission to hear an argument in favor of putting a petition together for recall. It sounds insane, because, frankly, it is. And I've never heard of anybody trying so hard not to be recalled. Before we continue on with the story, I'd like to go to the phone. Autumn, let's welcome Earl in Ypsilanti to the show. Earl, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Autumn. To keep up the good work, Autumn. It sounds to me like the election board in Calhoun County needs to be recalled, for one. And I don't know who the judge is that issued this injunction. If it's an elected position, they need to recall that judge. You know, this is a violation. They're trampling our rights. They're trampling your rights as a citizen. And we definitely have recall as a right to redress our government. And keep up the good work, and I'll just listen to the rest on the air there.
Well, thank you, Earl. And I'm assuming that I have the Autumn, the legal paperwork with me. The Conrad, is it Sint is the last name?
Yes.
Do you know if he's an elected judge?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe so. He's been on the bench for a long time.
Well, again, I don't understand the injunction. I mean, I've read it. I understand what it says. I mean, it's not that I don't understand what it says. I understand what it says. I've just never seen anybody go to such great length to not even have a petition considered for recall. Does, in your opinion, Autumn, does Jace Bulger think that he is being, I don't know, harassed, stalked? Are you getting any clear reason why they are working so hard to not let this happen?
Well, and that's kind of, when you hear the word restraining order, that's the first thing that went through my mind is, does he think I'm stalking him? Does he think this? I've never really met him in my life. I met him last year. He probably doesn't even remember me, while I was campaigning at various events. But, I'm not bothering him or anything. I'm doing what I feel is correct in not only my right as a citizen, but I'm coming up with my own strategy as to how to do this. Because with all of the hoops I've had to jump through, I have to figure out what my next move is. So, you know, by amending the title of office and getting the language passed, it was suggested to me by the Election Commission that I resubmit the language as amended. So that's part of why I, after the two languages were approved, I resubmitted the language as amended to hopefully correct any errors that could have been overturned on appeal. And then I get this injunction and temporary restraining order that canceled my hearing that I was supposed to have yesterday. And now I did find out through the grapevine that he's also filed an appeal on the two languages that were approved. So most people are just saying odds are already stacked against people when they recall. Let her have her recall. Even people that are against recalls are just saying, let her have her recall. You know, so it's been a very frustrating thing, but I'm not backing down. I mean, if anybody thinks this is going to, you know, back me down or make me quit, they're wrong. It's actually re-energized my call, my page with my people that I'm contacting with. It's gotten a little bit bigger news than some of the other headlines, and it's provided more support to me. So if anything, I guess I should thank Jace for causing all of this trouble and drawing all of this undue attention, because it's doing him no favors.
Well, that's true, Autumn. You got that right. Now, I understand. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, I do. It's Facebook. It's pretty open in the regular search. It's called Recall Michigan Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger.
Recall Michigan Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger, and we will, of course, we've already got it up. My staff is just wonderful. It's already up on our Facebook page, so if you go to the First Shift Facebook page, it's right there. Daily Kos is also, somebody on Daily Kos is blogging for your case as well, Autumn, and certainly you're right. This is getting a whole lot more attention because they continue to fight you. And again, you have a and I'll remind this audience, you have a constitutionally protected right to do what you're doing, as everybody else has that is trying to recall a member of this of the state house or the state senate and the governor. All you're doing is exercising your constitutional right. And I want to remind, and I want to say this one more time, if there's an attorney in this audience right now that can give some pro bono advice to Autumn, that would be greatly appreciated. She does not have deep pockets. The law firm, by the way, for the Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger, is Dykema Gossett, who is a well-known, very well-connected, very heavy law firm. And I assure you, the Speaker has much, much deeper pockets than sweet Autumn Smith does. And I don't think, although I didn't ask you that question, I think I'm pretty much right on that score, am I not?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a college student, and I'm on a fixed income, and yeah. But, you know, lack of legal counsel or lack of funding is not going to stop this recall. I can guarantee you that right now. I will actively campaign till the very last minute, and I will actively continue to campaign should this recall continue to be blocked. And Jace chooses to run again, I will actively campaign to make sure he's not reelected.
All right. Well, you've got a friend in us. I can promise you that. We will be following this in Autumn. And any time you feel like you need to come back here and explain what's going on, just know that you've got a free pass.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I appreciate all the support that I've got.
No problem. Autumn Smith, once again. Well, I got to tell you, this one is just, I mean, Jeff, really. At the end of the day, how the hell can they justify? And I would almost say that they're harassing her at this point.
That's why when I talked to her on the phone yesterday, I was like, okay, we need to get this done on Friday because this story is just unreal. And it's one of those things where if you give it the more attention, like she said, the more attention Jace gives to this recall, the more popular it becomes. You're almost helping the cause now.
Well, again, I read the you were very good in your research and got me the actual court papers. I mean, I've got them in front of me. I read them. They make complete sense from an English standpoint. I mean, I understand them. I comprehend them. They don't make any sense from a constitutional standpoint. An injunction, a restraining order barring the Election Commission from a clarity hearing to decide whether or not to decide whether or not to recall. Now, if that sounds absurd, it's because it is absurd. I mean, this is just insane.
I just can't, again, I know we keep promoting things that are way down the road, but Bruce Levine's book talks about getting beat down to the point where you don't think democracy works anymore. And this is another example of that, where they're just trying to beat down Autumn Smith so that she will eventually give up and the process will go away. And she's just not going to let it do that. And hats off to her.
Yeah, well, listen, we need to make sure that we stay in touch with her, Jeff. We need to follow this as far as we need to follow this and get her back. And, again, I want to just say, if there's an attorney that can provide some legal assistance to her pro bono, it would certainly be appreciated. She's being harassed. And as far as I'm concerned, he's on his way to a civil action if he keeps this up. The Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger, that is. All right, a quick break. Joe DeSano on the other side of this. We just have a lot to get to today. Let's get off to the break. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather news with CNN. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update looks like we're doing okay through the interchange with 94-696, but heads up, that's going to be closing tonight for the weekend. You're not going to be able to take 94 through the 696 interchange. And also looks like the Southfield Freeway will be closing, where we have one lane right now between Grand River and roughly Michigan. That's going to be shut down for the weekend again tonight until early Monday.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high, 69. Tonight it will be mostly cloudy as we drop to 57 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny and a high of 78. Right now, Metro Airport, still some overcast skies and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio.
Leading the news this hour, what's going to happen in Afghanistan when 33,000 American troops leave by next summer? CNN's Nick Peyton Walsh visited an area where NATO troops withdrew and the Taliban moved back in.
This is a glimpse, really, of what people might start seeing in Afghanistan if NATO troops are significantly withdrawn. In the longer-term argument, the fears are not really voiced by General Petraeus, but kind of hinted at the military establishment in the U.S., that if you continue to pull troops back from areas like this, you do give the Taliban a chance to be resurgent.
A New York Times report links Pakistan's spy agency to a militant group that may have been helping Osama bin Laden hide. A member of the group denies the report, which says a cell phone found during the bin Laden raid had contact information for members of the militant group. Two U.S. citizens were apparently plotting a terrorist attack against a military recruiting station in Seattle. Mayor Mike McGinn says the suspects were arrested when a third guy they were recruiting went to the cops.
He had been approached about participating in the attack and supplying firearms to the conspirators.
The men are being held without bail. Legendary mobster James Whitey Bulger could return to Boston today. The FBI's Stephen Martinez says Bulger is accused of several crimes, including murders dating back to the 1970s.
For 30 years, Rand was the head of an Irish gang in the Boston area and really specialized in extortions.
Bulger was arrested in Southern California this week after disappearing 16 years ago. Federal subpoenas could be delivered to Google very soon, according to the New York Times. The Federal Trade Commission has been investigating Google's search engine advertising business, which brings in most of the company's revenue. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
$52 million. That's how much money self-proclaimed infomercial king Don Lapper is accused of bilking from people who had signed up for his service. Lapper was arrested last night in Arizona for skipping his arraignment hearing. The U.S. Marshals who got him say he may be suicidal. For more than 20 years, Lapper sold what prosecutors say were worthless internet-based businesses through his company, The Greatest Vitamin in the World. It's getting more complicated at Google. Reports say New York, California, and Ohio are preparing investigations of Google, even as federal regulators are poised to slap it with subpoenas. All this follows a European antitrust probe of the company, centering on Google's search advertising dominance and following complaints it had unfairly punished some websites by pushing them down in search result rankings. Stock markets in Asia and Europe up 1 to 2% today after a deal was struck between Greece and its lenders, emergency financing in exchange for spending cuts. S&P futures up half a point. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Hi, folks. This is Dennis Miller, and if you aren't playing a Google a Day yet, here's your chance to get started with a sneak peek at today's question. Go to a GoogleAday.com and take a look at the chemical formula. When this chemical reacts with amino acid compounds, it detects fingerprints on paper. What color does it turn? Think you know how to find the answer? Start playing at agoogleaday.com. agoogleaday.com.
In 2010, Americans spent over $7.1 billion on ATM fees. And nearly one in two people are unhappy with their bank's phone customer service. It's time to choose a different kind of bank. Ally Bank has reimbursement for all ATM fees nationwide, plus 24/7 live customer care with over 90% customer satisfaction. To learn more, visit allybank.com. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Now Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you, a fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it.
You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is the final hour of this Friday First Shift program. And, man, has it been a busy, busy morning. And I got to tell you, especially after speaking with Autumn Smith in the last half hour, actually that last hour was pretty dynamic. Really enjoyed Representative George Durrani and certainly Autumn Smith's story. And the wake of just trying to file recall petition against the Speaker of the House, Jace Bolger, who we are going to actually continue to talk about a little bit in this hour as well. It just confounds me that that he is so paranoid, so worried about a recall that he would go to this expensive. Now, keep in mind, Dyke McGossett is not a $25 an hour law firm. He's spending a significant amount of money to fight this recall. It's just absolutely astounding. Especially as Autumn pointed out, the reality of somebody actually getting recalled is not that great to begin with, that he would continue to fight this. Maybe he tells us a little more about what he knows than maybe we do. But before we go any further, I want to remind you very quickly that tomorrow is the Downriver Cruise, and they're in need of people to help with petitions if you want to get involved in the recall effort. Send an email to recallrick@yahoo.com, recallrick@yahoo.com, and let them know that you're available to help with petitions during the Downriver Cruise. I know that they would very, very much appreciate your help. With that said, let's go ahead. Jeff, go ahead and hit it.
It's time to talk politics with our political strategist
from Main Street Strategies,
Joe DeSantis.
And we welcome Joe back to First Shift, and I think we finally got the phone thing figured out, and no more interruptions. Joe, welcome back to First Shift.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you for having me, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that Skype is going to treat us well, and make sure our calls are consistent. So thanks again for having me.
You sound good and strong, and I'm just going to stay optimistic that we're not going to lose you in for today's show. The last 2 weeks have been a little brutal. I was beginning to believe there was a conspiracy amongst us.
Well, I have to admit my frustration level was at an all-time high over this, but I think we've got it solved now.
Absolutely, and so let's use our time for the best. You know, and I don't know if you're aware of what's going on in Calhoun County with the recall.
Quite aware.
Well, you know, we just had Autumn Smith on the show, Joe. I don't know if you were listening online or not. And
I was not, but I'm quite familiar with Autumn and her situation.
I'm astounded that the speaker would go to this length to bar a constitutional process, because this is, after all, a constitutional process.
Oh, absolutely. And I have a question about, you know, why a judge would allow this to happen.
Well, yeah,
I question the integrity of this judge, because there's no reason for a TRO about this subject. It's an inevitability. The language has been approved. You have the appeal, yes or no. There's no there's no reason for a restraining order. Absolutely none. And I questioned this judge.
As did we. We certainly did. This elected judge. This makes no sense. There's no logic to this at all. And so Joe.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this is an example of a desperate politician desperately clinging to power. That's the only thing Republicans really respect is power, and he would fit right in with the clowns in Washington D.C. That's kind of why he's been recruited by Republicans in Washington to run against Debbie Stabenow. I mean, the Republicans are increasingly desperate to field a candidate who has even a fraction of a chance to defeat Senator Stabenow. Now, Jace Bulger is a third-tier candidate at best, but they are pinning their hopes on him and his ability to walk away from the speakership. I don't think they have a chance in hell of even scoring him being a third-tier candidate. It reminds me of Where's Waldo, except for Where's Our Candidate?
Yeah, this is just very, very odd. And so that brings up an interesting point. Is it, you know, listen, we're, you know, just last November, we're only talking about 8 months ago. You know, the cool thing was to be a Republican. I mean, you know, listen, if you were going to be a politician, you should be a Republican. I mean, be a part of the GOP. How's the electorate feeling about the grand old party these days?
Well, it kind of reminds me of high tide. 2010 was high tide for the Republicans. And, of course, you know, when the high tide goes back out to sea, it leaves the flotsam and jetsam back on the beach and the rotting carcasses of the people left behind. And I think that's what we're seeing here, is that people are starting to get buyer's remorse for what they voted for last fall. There was a recent poll conducted by Dennis Deno, a Democratic pollster, on behalf of Chuck Perricone of the Perricone Group, former Speaker of the House, and also Lambert Edwards and Associates, the PR firm. It says that voters, a majority of voters, are less likely to vote for a legislator who, or excuse me, 61% of voters are less likely to vote for a legislator that supported the Republican Snyder budget. That's a pretty stunning number.
Yeah, that's a pretty stunning number.
That is a pretty stunning number, and you know, I think it puts a lot of things in play. I think voters have rejected the Snyder so-called shared sacrifice agenda. It's really stunning to me, and I think that you know, things are looking up for Democrats. If this economy can pick up just even a little bit, we'll have these clowns on the run.
All right, well, that'll bring up a different conversation that I want to have at a different time, and that's, will the Democrats be ready to respond to that? Or, in fact, the reality is, Joe, are they gearing up to respond to that? Let me ask you to put your strategist hat on for just a moment, not that you ever take it off. As a Democratic strategist, do you believe that there's enough movement going on behind the scenes that maybe the Democrats get the opportunity that is being presented to them? Because I'm not necessarily seeing it. That doesn't mean it's not happening. I'm not the insider that people might think I am.
Well, I think there's always a question if Democrats are going to be able to take advantage of missteps and mistakes from the opposing party. The Democrats are not known for Democrats aren't known to take advantage of those opportunities, and I think things are looking up. I think there's a strong possibility that Democrats can take advantage of it, but it's not a foregone conclusion. And by no means should you take a poll, 18 months out from an election and think that end result is chiseled in stone. It just isn't. I mean, the Republicans are masters at deceptions and distortions.
Yeah, that is true.
I'll tell you what, I often tell my clients that we can handle the Republicans. We can handle our opponents. The biggest problem is the friendly fire and the incoming fire from our own side. And that's something Democrats always have to be very conscious of.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you do make an important point, 18 months out, and I've actually said it on this show. You know, we were talking about presidential politics earlier this week. And, you know, we're of course, very careful and clear not to look at any of the polls right now. Even with amongst the Republicans that are running and announced for the presidency, we're not taking any of that seriously at this point because it doesn't matter at this point.
Well, no, the poll results are very, very fluid. I mean, I'm encouraged by this Lambert poll, Lambert-Deno poll. But, you know, I'm not going to go to sleep happy. And I'm not going to sleep in, you know, on a work day because of this poll. You got to keep on firing away. Take advantage of your opposition's missteps and keep on moving forward. The only a fool would think that the fight's over. It's not even begun.
Absolutely. Remind you, my guest is Joe DeSano. He is principal with Main Street Strategies, a Democratic strategist. Certainly a well-respected Democratic strategist, and we're fortunate to have him with us on a weekly basis. I do want to go to the phones as we've got some calls coming in. 888-552-3595. Joe, we'll welcome Steve in Monroe to the show. Steve, you're on the air with Joe DeSano.
Hi, Tony and Joe. Listen, I like listening to your radio show, but, I mean, do we really have to start calling people names? I mean, honestly, calling people clowns? I mean, you don't have to call people names. If I'm a conservative.
I'm just calling them like I see them. And I'll tell you there's a lot of other names I could use for people who are trying to destroy the working class of this country. But Tony's show is FCC compliant, so I'm going to respect that. So clowns, I think, is letting them off easy.
Steve, I think he's an irresponsible jerk. How do you like that?
So you're calling people names like that. If I were to call Stabenow, I'll stab an idiot, you guys would cut me off immediately.
I didn't cut you off, did I?
Actually, go right ahead. You can say what you want.
You've got First Amendment rights on this show, Steve. You've got First...
I understand, but I mean, it's childish, Tony.
It's not.
Names,
you know, Steve, it's not. Well, then tell me when I disagree. You disagree with Debbie Stabenow. What's a nice way to call her, you know, something nasty but be nice about it?
I say she's fundamentally wrong on a lot of issues. I don't have to call her a name to make my case.
Well, I need to make it a little stronger than that. So I'm going to just say it again. And, you know, Joe called him a clown. And as I go to the break, Steve, I'm going to call him a jerk and an idiot. And if he's got a problem with that, he knows where to find me. Joe, let's take a break. We've got more calls coming in. 888-552-3595. Listen, this is what it is. We got to get to the break. We'll be back. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, it's all good news. Looks like no accidents are working, at least here in Metro Detroit. You're not going to find anything that's going to surprise you that you need extra time added to your commute. We have some slow traffic on I-75 north and south at 696. That's no surprise. That's part of the morning commute. If you're on the Ruther westbound, you're seeing pockets of it coming in from Mound to 75 out to Southfield Road and then out toward about Telegraph. And remember, the work on Telegraph between 12 and Maple on the northbound side and 14 down to 12 on that southbound side.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain all day, a high near 69. Tonight, clouds, a low of 57. Tomorrow, look for the sun and a high near 78. Right now, Metro Airport, it's 64 degrees. And overcast skies. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highberry ceiling fans at just $89.88. Valued at $150, you get a ceiling fan for under $90 to keep things cool, a remote control to keep things easy, and a lifetime warranty to keep you from having to replace it down the road. All thanks to a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highberry ceiling fans, just $89.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid Radio Show is for you.
The My Great Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at MyGreatKid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. Participate in McDonald's.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano, my guest with Main Street Strategies. Of course, you're welcome to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. I want to thank Donna in Dearborn for her nice email, and I do appreciate it. Joe, welcome back. Before we go back to the phones, you know, this happens from time to time on the show where, you know, people do that, more conservatives do this. Why do you got to resort to name calling? Well, you know, listen, it could get a whole lot worse than the word clown. I agree with that. What's to be, and I'm not being a smartass, what's to be served with civility? I don't understand. They're not being civil to the working class. They're not being civil to our senior citizens. You know, so why should we show them, quote unquote, respect by using polite language to say what they are?
The middle class in this country is in a life or death struggle. Okay? Once you realize that that's the case, clown is the least that you can call those people. There's nothing to be gained with civility. You know, there's a whole group of people out there who worship at the altar of compromise and getting along to go along. But the other side doesn't play ball that way. Democrats have to learn to play ball by the Republican rules. And you had Ann Coulter on this week?
No, she ended up, I know it's going to shock you, she canceled on me.
Yeah, her new book is called Demonic.
Yeah.
Okay? If that's not calling names and saying Democrats are demons, I'm not sure what is name calling. So, to answer your question, I got no time for civility.
All right, fair enough.
It's time to smack Republicans in the mouth and beat them straight up.
Now, I have no problem with that at all, Joe DeSano. Let's welcome Tim in Brownstown to the show. Tim, good to have you back with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, my friend. Good morning, Joe. I had a couple of comments and then a question. My first comment was the Republicans. Joe mentioned the Republicans are at high tide, and you know what happens with high tide, right? All the ships are raised. My second comment would be, Joe, I believe you said, if I'm not mistaken, that Democrats do not take advantage of Republican missteps. Now, Joe, you know that is the farthest from the truth. And then my question would be, you guys talked about, Tony, you talked yesterday about the spending that's been going on, the TARP and all the spending, and it hasn't been spent, all the money hasn't been spent. Do you think it's wise that Joe Biden is out there asking for more money when the first, when we still haven't spent the first amount of money?
Well, you know, I don't know what you're specifically referring to, Tim, and this really isn't on topic. So if you could just very quickly tell me what you're referring to so I can give you an answer. What is Joe Biden asking? What, which one? I know what you're talking about, but what's Joe Biden? What money is Joe Biden asking for that I'm not aware of?
Well, he's asking for another stimulus package because he says we didn't spend enough on the first one.
Well, you know, and Tim, thanks for the call. I'll have to look into that. I'm not going to respond on something that I haven't even read. So I will look at it this weekend and comment on Monday. Again, folks, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. You know, it seems clear, interesting enough, Joe, we had Sally call from Royal Oak that was so upset with Steve from Monroe and the way that he and I treated you. She was so mad she didn't even want to stay on the air. She was afraid she'd melt down on the air, getting so upset with Steve. And Sally, Joe and I appreciate that. Trust me, we can handle ourselves.
Yeah, me and you can't handle ourselves. God, what's other people going to do?
Let's talk for a moment. We didn't get a chance last week to talk about redistricting because we were
that's a really good question. A real good topic. That last caller said he did not believe, if I heard him correctly, he said he did not believe Democrats don't take advantage of
correct
of their yeah. Well, here's a perfect example of Democrats not taking advantage of a situation that they've been given. Redistricting is a once-in-a-decade event, okay? Obviously, it sets the borders of all the districts and all the election districts within the state. You would think that that would be an open process, a process that would allow people to reflect upon the process. Instead, it's being rammed down our throats. Okay? I think all of us understand that. But do you know that the Michigan legislature has spent more time discussing feral pigs than it has redistricting? I mean, just think about that for a minute. Feral pigs.
Yeah, show of hands, how many people even know what a feral pig is?
Well, that's another good question. But also, here's an example of what Democrats missed the boat on. Nowhere in any news story on this subject have I seen who actually were the people drawing the Republican map. You would think maybe it's a demographer. You would think maybe it's someone with qualifications. No, these maps were written by political operatives, specifically political operatives paid for by the Republican Party. In fact, one of them was paid over $1.5 million to elect Republican candidates throughout the state of Michigan. I mean, think about that. Political hacks are drawing these maps, not experts. And that's why we're seeing incredibly awful congressional maps.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Joe, very quickly as we're coming up to the break, and I'm hoping you can stay with us. I'd like to keep you over today. But we had Stephen Henderson on from the Free Press yesterday, and he talked quite eloquently how, you know,
he's got a great editorial today on this subject.
Yeah,
that's
fine. And in fact, he said, you know, the Democrats aren't going to file a legal challenge to this because they don't, you know, they don't have the wherewithal to do it. You know, and we already know with the compromise that they made in the state Senate yesterday. Because, again, even the Democrats are more concerned about picking their own voters than they are about making sure the voters get to pick the right people.
And that goes back to one of the recurring things I know I've mentioned on the show. We need to develop a progressive infrastructure to hold our own people accountable.
Oh, there's no question. And organized labor is already doing that. You know, that's one of the things. The national AFL has been very aggressive on that issue. Richard Trumka has been very, very aggressive, sending that message that it's no longer about writing a check for Democrats anymore. They're going to have to come to the table with a whole lot more than a D behind their name. And that's the way it should be.
They're not your friends. They're not your pals. The only thing they understand is the fear of not being elected.
Absolutely. We got to take a quick break here. Joe DeSano again with Main Street Strategies. If you want to join us, now's your chance. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break on First Shift. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Our total traffic update, Tony, includes all good news. We're moving along just fine. At the moment, you can tell that it's a Friday out there, a little bit lighter than normal traffic, although try to make your way on the Ruther West and coming down 75. That's always slow almost whatever day or whatever time it is. Even northbound's been kind of heavy and slow as you try to get toward the Ruther and then up toward about 14 Mile Road.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain all day, a high near 69, tonight clouds, a low of 57. Tomorrow, look for the sun and a high near 78. Right now, Metro Airport, it's 64 degrees and overcast skies. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. It took nearly a decade, but as Jesse Russell reports, employees of the Transportation Security Administration now have a collective voice on the job.
Nearly 45,000 TSA employees across the country voted in favor of representation by the American Federation of Government Employees. 85% of the transportation security officers voted in favor of unionizing in April, but they didn't agree on which union should be their representative. The AFGE just barely nudged out the National Treasury Employees Union by 500 votes. President Barack Obama restored the right of TSA employees to collectively bargain when he took office, a right stripped by the previous administration. In a statement, AFGE National President John Gage said that as the union moves forward representing the workers, it acknowledges that airports of different sizes have very different issues. He pledged to cover all of the bases.
The United Farm Workers are hoping a California bill allowing farm workers to form unions by majority sign-up will soon become law. Sean Hamilton reports.
United Farm Workers and their supporters rallied at California's state capitol Thursday to persuade Governor Jerry Brown to sign legislation making it easier for farm workers to organize. The author of Senate Bill 104, Sacramento Democrat Daryl Steinberg, told the crowd he was honored to have sponsored the Fair Treatment for Farm Workers Act, which he referred to as a civil rights bill. Arturo Rodriguez, president of the United Farm Workers, said the large growers who oppose the legislation pretend everything is fine and that they treat the workers well. Rodriguez said they ignore the 16 heat-related deaths that have occurred in the last 6 years. He said the growers don't provide enough water, shade, or rest breaks and generally push the workers too hard.
They're not machines. They're human beings, and they cannot work like that. That's why we need fair treatment for farm workers, and SB 104 signed by Governor Jerry Brown, so farm workers will have a voice on the job, so they'll have an opportunity to really control what's taking place.
Governor Brown has until June 28th to sign the bill. Sean Hamilton, Sacramento, California.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
35 minutes after the hour, I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. My guest, Joe DeSana with Main Street Strategies. Joe, I need to address something again real quickly. You know, we had another caller that was on the line and then hung up because I guess they lose their nerve. And I'm getting a lot of email. The email's very supportive of this name-calling thing, and I'm, you know, we got on it and we're dealing with it, so let's go with it for a moment. The caller that hung up, Joe, was going to take us to task again for the name-calling. What would people rather we do, Joe? I don't understand. What would people rather we do?
Lay down and take it?
Yeah, I guess. I'm confused. I'm very confused. I have made a career out of being passionate. You know, I've made a career because I'm not a journalist. I'm an activist. I mean, this is who I am. I'm gonna try to be something I'm not. One of the reasons, Joe, when I decided when this opportunity came along to do this show, you know, you were the very first person, as you know, that I reached out to join me on a regular basis. The reason I did that is because you live an authentic life. Now, people might not like to hear what you have to say, but Joe DeSano, you don't lie. You're an honest guy, and you're going to call it as you see it.
And that's the only thing you can do. You have to be authentic. You have to be genuine. And I'll tell you what, when a Speaker of the House targets a person for even thinking of recalling, using all the power and resources he can bring to bear to shut down a recall and file a restraining order against a young woman.
Who, by the way, is disabled on a fixed income and trying to educate herself so she can lift herself up by her own bootstraps and make a better life for herself. You know, let's forget all that, but let's spend countless dollars to fight her.
But calling a person who would do that to someone a clown is light. Letting them off lightly. I got some other words I would use. Evil. Here's another one. Corrupt. I like that. Corrupt. That is a corruption of morals. Immoral. That's another word for what he's done.
Well, you know what?
So if you want to call that name calling, so be it.
Well, you know, and again, the email's overwhelming in favor of the dialogue we're having today. I've not had a negative email. The call's not so much. I don't understand what, again, if people think we're here to build some kind of bridge and that, you know, that this show is about, trying to find some common ground, some middle ground. You found the wrong show.
You know what? When someone living on a fixed income has to pay more taxes per percentage of more taxes than a millionaire, or a multi-millionaire, or a billionaire, I'm not interested in common ground anymore.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm going to try to make this real simple. I'm a member of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. How many of my union brothers and sisters, Joe, in the last 5 years, have seen legitimate middle-class incomes being eaten away at? How many of my union brothers and sisters, without the strong leadership that they currently have, would have been lost when Farmer Jack went out of business? How many of my union brothers and sisters wouldn't have found immediately, you know, jobs at Kroger, at Hiller's, at Hollywood Markets, because they had a union? Where would they have been without their collective bargaining agreement, Joe? So if you wonder why I get a little upset from time to time, it's because I know what organized labor has done for this country, for this state, for my community, for my brothers and sisters. Don't tell me we need to build common ground. Joe, we need to build a better Democratic Party is what we need to do.
I don't want common ground. I want scorched earth.
I'll buy that.
But you bring up a very good point. Your fellow brothers and sisters, those companies never would have given the benefits, given the cost of living increases, given the the work rules. They don't give you anything. You need to take it, and you can't take it on your own. You need to link up with fellow-minded coworkers and demand the dignity and respect from your employer. So I'm not interested, interested in this common ground nonsense. You know, common ground, you get screwed. Okay, it's time to do the screwing.
There you go, folks. If you can't handle that, then you're listening to the wrong radio show. I can't make it any simpler than that. Speaking of bridges, let's talk about a literal bridge, and that, of course, is the bridge between Canada and the United States. You know, the question is still at issue. Will the Republicans agree to move forward on it? We don't know the answer to that quite yet, although we can guess at it. What do the people think? And we've been talking a little bit polling this morning. You know, what do people think should happen with this new bridge?
Well, it's interesting. There is competing polls out there that have somewhat different results. Dick Morris was in Lansing last week pimping one of his polls that shows that voters overwhelmingly have rejected the government bridge and support the Maroon building of a second span by the Maroon family. The Lambert Edwards and Associates poll we talked about earlier has somewhat different results, and it's interesting to show that maybe this question is a little bit more nuanced than perhaps we might think otherwise, and shows that maybe this is not a settled issue. Regardless, it seems to be a settled issue in Lansing, and it looks like Governor Snyder has been delivered a huge blow. As your listeners know, he demanded that by the end of June this be a done issue, and they can't even get it mentioned in the Senate.
Yeah, well,
it's an amazing thing.
And I this is kind of, I spoke at the Waterford Democratic Club on Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whichever night it was. I believe it was Tuesday night, Joe. And one of the women that is involved in that group sent me a note yesterday. Said, hey, I'd like somebody to come speak on the bridge issue at our next meeting. So I said, okay, well, from what point of view? You know, there are multiple stories involved in the bridge. And she wrote me back, really? And she's just a smart person. I mean, this is a very complex issue. This isn't just about whether you're for it or against it. That's just the beginning of this question, because there's much more to the bridge issue than just should we or shouldn't we build it.
Well, this is probably the most complicated issue I've seen in Lansing politics in a long, long time. It seems to be built on shifting stands. I mean, people can't even agree on what the facts are. And there's a pretty savvy public relations effort by the bridge folks to make this even murkier. They've gone so far as to advertise nationally on Fox News. And also they've done advertising in Florida and Arizona to communicate to the snowbirds. So, there's a clear messaging strategy on their part. The Snyder administration and its related entities have not done a very good job pushing back. In fact, I think it's a pretty awful job pushing back.
Yeah,
But the thing is, we can't even agree on what the facts are.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, a very complicated issue. I'm not going to begin, and certainly as we work our way through the summer, we're going to continue to explore the bridge issue. And the more I learn about it, the more I realize I don't know, which is, again, this is really from where I sit, from a radio show host perspective, Joe, this is really an interesting story because it is so multi-layered, and there's really not a right answer at this point, at least for me personally.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think I said on the show earlier, previous appearances, that this is something I've struggled with myself.
Yeah, well, yes.
I can't tell you, it's just something that is, I can't get. Maybe I'm a simple-minded guy. I'm sure many of the folks who tried to call him this morning would agree with that. But to me, it's real. To me, it's a simple thing of this Maroon family. Whether you like them or not, they're interested in paying for it out of their own pocket. I'm not sure. I'm very skeptical that ultimately voters in Michigan and taxpayers in Michigan aren't going to get footed with some of the bill for this. I just call me a cynic, call me skeptical, but I don't really trust what's being told because I don't think any of us have agreed on the facts. And this is not going away. The Senate's going to try to take this up in the fall, but I don't think they're going to have the votes there then either. And there's a pretty aggressive behind the scenes horse trading going on by the Snyder folks to get the number of votes they'll need in the Senate to move this. And I, you know what? I would not be surprised if some of the agreements that happened in the Senate yesterday on the maps were tied to yes votes to get the bridge moving.
Well, it's interesting. Joe, it's interesting because as you join us next Friday, they will at that point officially be on hiatus. And so it'll be.
Oh, they're gonna take 2 months off.
Right. And so it'll be interesting to see what we have to talk about by this time next week, because there's going to be a massive effort to move a ton of legislation for final vote.
Yeah, and after they're done screwing taxpayers, they're going to take a 2 month break. They're going fishing, guys, because, hey, our job's done.
Well, we're not, and our job's not done, Joe DeSano, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire. So that's that. Joe, we're out of time today. I want to, again, thank you for another great Friday, and I'm glad the Skype thing worked out. Looks like we got it figured out. They couldn't keep us away from each other for very long, could they?
Well, thank you for having me, and I'll try not to do much name-calling next time, but I will call it like I see it.
Well, Jeff just said in my ear, you clowns have 30 seconds, so I better get to the break. Joe DeSano from 8th Street Strategies, thanks again. We'll talk to you next Friday.
And, right on, man. Thank you.
You bet. And we'll take a break here. We'll be back and wrap things up on the other side. If you want to join us, you got one last chance this week, 888-552-3595. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And just a reminder that the Downriver Cruise is this weekend. If you'd like to help with the petition drive to gather signatures to recall the governor, just send an email, if you can, to recallrick@yahoo.com. Recallrick@yahoo.com. This is a Saturday-only thing. Weather's supposed to be 75 and sunny tomorrow. It's not going to get any better than that. So if you wanted to give a little, this is your chance to do that. And I know that Beth would appreciate it, as would I. We are going to go to the phones now as we get ready to wrap things up this week. So it's your last chance to get in touch, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Fred in St. Clair Shores. Fred, welcome to First Shift, and what's on your mind today?
The bridge. Frankly, I have a couple of things. I'll go as quickly as I can. Right now, all the airways are being flooded almost constantly, daily, with the bridge company saying, we don't need a bridge, traffic is, commerce is down, and yet the very same people who put the ad on are privately engineering, orchestrating an attempt to build their own bridge. For a bridge that they say we don't need, they want to build one.
You're right. Correct? You're 100% correct, Fred. Yes, that is true.
Now, I mean, now, on top of that, I would never want to see a side-by-side bridge in that congested part of Detroit. Look at all the businesses, the families that live down there are getting squeezed by government and a billionaire, Mr. Maroon. Hey, I mean, people, I've heard even my local state congressmen say, hey, let the man build it. Rather he build it than taxpayers build it. Well, you know, there's another part of that. This is Windsor. Windsor, the Canadian government, also has a big interest. That would be a boon to Detroit and Michigan, an additional bridge, but not side by side. I'd say further down, certainly not to Wyandotte. That would be too far away. But I think there is a long-term commercial benefit for having a bridge there because, you know, there are, I think, another state or two that are interested in building another type of causeway or bridge to take advantage of future expansion.
Yeah, I mean, this is about commerce, Fred. So, Fred, I mean, the bottom line, you are in favor of a bridge, not necessarily in that location, but you are in favor of a bridge?
I am in favor of a bridge.
All right. Well,
I think I don't like an international bridge. I know the Ambassador Bridge is privately owned. And maybe you or maybe one of your listeners knows, who owns the Blue Water Bridges?
Well, the Blue Water Bridge is actually owned by the state of Michigan.
See, I think we should have the same thing with this new bridge. I think we should have a new bridge. I don't like a private individual owning an international piece of a waterway connection between two nations. I think it's not good for security, and I think it's something wrong about one person. You know, the privatization of all the commons in this country is a scary thought.
Well, and of course, we've been having that discussion. Fred, I want to thank you for your call. I just need to move on to some other callers, and I appreciate very much your thoughts, and I'm glad you're a thoughtful person. I do appreciate it. Privatization is a concern. We know that the model with the Blue Water Bridge works. We know that that model would work here. Again, as we were saying with Joe DeSano, you know, there's so much to this issue that hasn't been covered, including on this show, and we need to get into that. My friend Kevin Moore, who is the president of Teamsters Local 299, is going to help us a little bit work through that issue as well. The Teamsters are one of the unions that's involved with the Ambassador Bridge. He has a unique insight into that. So we'll be talking to Kevin about that in the very near future. Let's again turn our attention to the phone. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Bob in Lake Orion. Bob, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the name-calling thing. And, you know, when I heard that guy attack you guys, I said, look, it's similar to a rich guy holding the working class's head underwater and trying to drown him, and this guy is upset about me calling the guy an SOB or whatever. I'd rather he, you know, he needs to be helping the working class to get his head up and to survive, as opposed to some, you know, side issue.
Well, we're told that's the way it's supposed to work, Bob. It doesn't seem to be working that way too well, does it?
No, not at all.
Well, I appreciate your support, and you're right, Bob. I mean, at the end of the day, the Republicans, the more conservative members of my audience, who are hell-bent on trying to tell me how to do this show, which is obviously not working out too well, you can give that idea up. We are here for really a particular purpose. That's to incite the kind of reaction, the kind of response that truly moves us to a more proactive society, a society that says that I am willing to share what I have as long as you're willing to share what you have. And, you know, I know people that have literally next to nothing that would give their shirt off their back if asked. I also know people that have more money than they know what to do with that won't even throw a dime into a charity cup during the holidays. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. We do have to get ready to wrap things up today. I want to thank all the callers. We had a good day. The weekend's upon us. Of course, Jeff and Todd, I've got the big graduation party tomorrow night. You guys have been invited, and I don't want you to feel overly obligated to come. But, you know, if you can, I don't even know if you've got to work, Jeff, tomorrow, to be honest with you. Do you have to work tomorrow?
Not as of right now, but, you know, as the winds change. So.
Yeah, that's. I've noticed lately that you have been, like, not getting any time off.
I didn't. I thought I would be done with my day in about 3 minutes, and nope, I have another shift to go to. So
yes, and unfortunately, the staff meeting is delayed. Yeah, second shift. Well, the staff meeting gets delayed this week.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I thought maybe you guys would go without me.
We would never abandon you. Never, never, never. So anyway, well, I've got the graduation party. That will be my weekend between setting it up, doing it, and tearing it down. It's now Monday for me. So that's that. Todd, what do you got going on this weekend? Anything?
I actually might stop by that graduation party, and then I'm planning on going on, it's called a Roots and Bluesgrass Festival at the Magic Stick in Detroit.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I know you're a real music buff, so I didn't get to the song of the week. What was the song of the week this week?
The Facebook,
it imploded on us.
Shut down, but I was going to go with, Peter Gabriel, Don't Give Up.
I like it.
So
I like it. Well, for whatever reason, and maybe some of the audience is also having problems accessing the First Shift Facebook page, but Todd and I both lost it about an hour ago and could not get it back. So I just kind of gave up because, frankly, I was in the middle of doing a show. Imagine that. All right. Listen, that is it for us today. I want to thank everybody. Obviously, if you've got time to give, give this weekend. RecallRick@Yahoo.com to help with the Downriver Cruise. In the meantime, I'd love to hear from you, and as I have a chance, I do try to respond to all my email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and those of you that know me know that's true. And we begin the streak all over again today, so number one coming up, well, at least hopefully, and if you're still trying to guess, good luck. All right, that's it for me, for Todd and Jeff. I'm Tony Truppiano. As always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update includes an accident working on 94 westbound before M10 The Lodge. It's been working there for a while. We've been backed up from before Mount Elliott for those heading west on 94, but it's also affecting traffic on I-75 that's trying to go south onto 94 west, and that's backed up there. 75 also backed up on 94. Again, the accident 94 west just before M10 The Lodge. I'm Diane Cross, traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a chance of rain all day, a high near 69, tonight clouds, a low of 57. Tomorrow, look for the sun and a high near 78. Right now, Metro Airport, it's 64 degrees and overcast skies. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Follow 1310 WDTW.